Support for this podcast comes from Monster. Monster takes your open positions to hard-to-reach passive candidates on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and hundreds of sites across the web, while their Swipe Right mobile app presents active job seekers with the most relevant opportunities and can increase mobile applications fourfold. What's more, Monster inspire customers to attract diverse talent and grow their employer brand. To find out how Monster can help you find, manage, and champion the talent you deserve, visit monster.co.uk/better talent. That's monster.co.uk/better talent. Monster, in your corner.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 120 of the Recruiting Future podcast. The ATS market is growing more complex and potentially becomes more confusing every single year. It can also be quite a challenge to find meaningful data to make sense of what's going on. Over the last few years, recruitment marketing tech provider OnGig has researched and published a report on ATS usage, which certainly throws some light on the industry. My guest this week is OnGig CEO Rob Kelly. As well as talking about the ATS research, as a bonus, Rob also shares his considerable insights into producing dynamic and effective job descriptions on company career sites. Hi, Rob, and welcome to the podcast.
How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, very well indeed. Could you introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I am Rob Kelly, CEO of OnGig, and I'm here in the United States, grew up in New York City. I have a passion for business. My dad was lucky enough to study under Warren Buffett's main mentor at Columbia University in New York City. And so I grew up on business and Warren Buffett and Buffettisms and thinking long term. And over the years, I started off as a journalist, as you know, and I fell in love with recruiting because of the value of human capital, the value of a good hire. I call a hire a million-dollar transaction, and it's actually been proven that the best hire in your next 100 could be worth $30 million a year in revenue. And so I created OnGig because, you know, I believe every job description, job advert, job opportunity is a multi-million dollar transaction potentially, and it deserves a Super Bowl job ad. And that's how I created OnGig, and there's a lot in between there, but yeah, look forward to dive in and chatting with you about recruiting today.
Absolutely. And for people who are not familiar, could you sort of tell us a little bit more about what OnGig actually does?
Sure. So our mission is to transform job pages, job descriptions, job adverts. We're talking about digitally, right? Not the old printouts. And we do that through a number of ways. One is that we create for employers who are our clients, they're top employers in the world, and we create dynamic job descriptions. They've got video, a gallery of pictures, they've got chat. If you want to add ratings and reviews from Glassdoor or anywhere else, all onto a job page, all through software, all done at scale. So literally with a drag and drop, you could take the job description coming out of your ATS and add pictures, video, chat, these other recruiting widgets is what I call them. And we also have got AI-based job search on your career site. So if you want the candidate to have intuitive search, where they can search on concepts through your job descriptions. They can even misspell things. They could do shorthand, you know, like SW Dev instead of software developer, AI instead of artificial intelligence, you name it, and they'll find the right job. And then finally, we have a text analysis tool that will analyze the text of your job descriptions, make sure that it's gender neutral, that you're not gender biased. Most job descriptions are biased towards being written for men, and that turns off many women, meaning you're losing some of the top female candidates around. And we also analyze the text for positive sentiment and a number of other things. But we're everything job descriptions, transforming job descriptions is OnGig's mission.
Now, one of the things that you do every year, or at least you've done for the last few years, is you produce a report on ATS usage. And I've seen this a number of times, and this is kind of really why I wanted to get you on the show, to just kind of find out, you know, a bit more about that report and, you know, some of the trends and findings that you're seeing. Could you just explain to everyone what the ATS report is?
Sure. And you know content marketing well. I know that. I've seen all your different projects out there, and it's a specialty of yours. So I know you'll appreciate this. What we did was our approach to marketing is that, you know, we replaced the word sales or selling and marketing with teaching and sharing. That's just our philosophy. We think, you know, good sales and marketing is good teaching and sharing. We're supposed to be the experts on something, you know, just like you're an expert on recruiting podcasts and podcasts in general, I'm sure. And so what we do is we put out a lot of content. And because OnGig partners with applicant tracking systems, ATSs, we decided to take our own database, our own CRM, and take all of the employers and the ATSs we know that they're using and publish that in a report. And, you know, we took a chance. You know how this goes. You put out, you know, 10 pieces of content, and maybe one or two really work if you're lucky and be popular and valuable. And in this case, it really hit. This top ATS report we put out, we summarized the trends of which employers are using which ATSs, the market share of all the ATSs, who are the new guys on the block, or gals, I should say, too, in this day of gender-neutral language, who are the new ATSs on the block, who's gaining market share, losing market share. And we put it out annually, and we do it just for free. And it helps the community, helps employers, heads of TA figure out the trends and which ATSs to look at. One of the top questions I get from a head of TA is, which ATS should I use, Rob? What's the latest? What's going on? I'm about to make a big decision. It could be 50, 100K, 200K a year type of decision, depending on your volume, to pick an ATS. And so we do that data also to make us smarter about what's going on. And that's a little bit about the top ATS report. The new one coming out any day. It might have came out already by the time this airs.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm recording a couple of weeks in advance at the moment. So the new one will have either come out or is just about to come out by the time this hits the airwaves, as it were. Give us a preview. What interesting insights can you see? What's going on in the ATS industry? What's changing? What are the new developments?
Sure. Well, one of the things we do, we're kind of known for all the pie charts and trend graphs that we put on there about who's got which market share based on in ATS is based on the volume of jobs is how we break it down too. So, you know, ATS is for a large enterprise like a Disney or Accenture or someone like that is a very different market than an ATS for a startup. Where you're just hiring one or two people. We actually cover that full spectrum though. So looking at the large size ATSs in terms of serving large clients, Taleo from Oracle, of course, is still the largest ATS by market share. But they're really they've lost a bunch of market share to new companies out there. And those new ATSs include companies like Greenhouse Software, iSIMS, Workday, in fact, and Workday probably alone has taken the most business from Taleo. But some of these smaller and medium-sized ATSs are too, which is very interesting.
That's interesting, and it's interesting to see the growth of those newer businesses. I mean, do you have any insight into I know that you're obviously just reporting the sort of the data that you're seeing here, but do you have any insight into, you know, why that might be? Do you think is the market changing? Are expectations changing? What are you hearing from the people that you're talking to?
Sure. I think, you know, part of this is just the law of numbers, of course. As you get larger, it's harder to, you know, to grow the business. But, you know, the ATS has become so critical to recruiting. It really, it's such an interesting story because it was built, you know, almost 20 years ago. The concept of the ATS was built to track candidates, you know, to store and manage them. And it's become, the ATS has become that core center of recruiting because it ended up being the software that generated the job pages and the job recs out there. And so I think it's over the last, you know, 5 or 8 years gotten just tremendous attention for its strategic value out there in the software industry. So now, of course, you've got, you know, Oracle runs Taleo and a number of other related ATSs. You've got IBM in there with Kinexa. You've got SAP in there with SuccessFactors. And now really the newest version of them is Workday, you know, which is the reason they started their business is because they saw massive value in the ATS market and human capital management software in general. And so a ton of attention, and that means a lot more competition. So everyone's going after, you know, the biggies in their various markets.
Do you, because I know this is something that you measured, what's the difference between, you know, what large companies are using in terms of ATSs and what smaller companies are using? Is the picture very different?
Well, when you get to the large size, there's a lot more compliance that goes into things. So, for instance, here in the United States, if you're working with the government, number one, or if you are a public company, publicly traded on a stock exchange, then you've got all these compliance rules that you've got to adhere to. And so some of these larger ATSs spend a lot of time on that. That's very important. Some of the newer ATSs and ATSs for the smaller businesses that might not need to care about that, call them startups or small, medium-sized businesses who might not work with the government at all, certainly aren't public yet. Those ATSs are, and those include companies like Greenhouse, iSIMS, also Lever, Smart Recruiters. Those new ATSs are focused a bit more on the marketing of the jobs and the recruiting aspect. And also being very, of course, UI friendly, responsive design, so they're mobile savvy. They also, you know, they're just newer, so the software has less legacy and is more modern, you know, for lack of a better word. And so that's very different. I mean, as most employers out there know, a candidate looking at a job that's generated out of Taleo is very different looking than a job that's generated out of Smart Recruiters, for instance.
And that's, and I think that's an interesting point. And, you know, probably something worth exploring a little bit more because, you know, obviously, you know, your business is all about making the most out of, you know, job adverts and, you know, turning job descriptions into much more sort of dynamic, you know, dynamic pieces of marketing. You know, it seems to me that the majority of companies are just using, you know, using their ATS to basically sort of, you know, just churn out very pedestrian text-based job advertising, and that appears to be the norm all over the world. Obviously, that isn't going to work as well as you know, taking a kind of a more dynamic approach to it. What would be your you know, your tips to people when it comes to job descriptions in terms of, you know, what are you seeing that really works? What do candidates engage with, and what really stands out?
Well, you know, and it's a great point you're bringing up because, you know, the very name ATS, again, applicant tracking system, that ATSs are designed to track candidates. They're not designed to attract them. Some ATSs try to do that and play in that world, but there's so much else that a good ATS has to do just to track a candidate and store and manage them that, you know, my personal view is that ATSs that focus on those core functions of tracking, managing, organizing, the candidate are are going to be the best ATSs, of course, because they're truly focused. But if you want to attract a candidate and not just track them, and you want to stand out in a marketing way, treat a candidate truly like a consumer. Stop them in their tracks with a job page that's mobile friendly, that's got media on it, that is engaging, video, pictures, interactivity, actual content. Again, content marketing we were talking about earlier, showing the people that are related to that job opportunity. Who's the job owner? Why wouldn't every job description show who the job owner is at the employer? In this day and age, the candidate wants transparency. They want to see right through. They don't want to work for their parents' company that looks like the Department of Motor Vehicles, job pages. And they don't want to sit there standing in line and reading a bunch of text. They want to immediately have a feel and a sense of the story of this company, the employer brand of it. And that's a very hard thing to do. And ATS is busy with a lot of other features to build. And that's one of the reasons OnGig's in business, is that we transform those job pages with everything I just mentioned and then some.
And out of, all of those features, say, you're an employer, and you weren't in a position to, completely transform your job advertising, but you might be able to do, one or two of the things that you mentioned. Which of those approaches are you seeing having the biggest impact, or does it really depend?
Oh, no, I think, certainly there's a few things that, if you had to focus on transforming your job pages and you needed just a top priority list, I would look at a couple things. One is I would measure the time on page currently for whatever job page you're serving up, probably coming out of your ATS. I would start off and measure that time. On average here in the U.S., it's about 8 seconds or so that a candidate looks at a job page, job opportunity, normal text-based job opportunity, not one of OnGig's clients' job pages. When you put a lot of work into it, you can get a candidate to invest 3, 4, 5 minutes on that same job opportunity. Some of our clients have, anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 minutes time on page, which is a key metric. The reason that's important is that the more a candidate will invest time on your opportunity, in psychology, they call this commitment theory. They're committing a little bit more. Let's say they watch a video. They're now about you, just the culture, who you are, your vision as an employer. They've committed that time. They're committing. They're taking a step closer to joining your organization. Let's say you show off the job owner on that page. Could just be the recruiter, could be the hiring manager. You show their LinkedIn profile, as all of OnGig's clients have with our platform. Then the candidate is starting to picture working with that person, maybe even looking at their profile on LinkedIn. Again, investing time, committing more. So I'd say it starts with that engagement on the job page itself, making a truly dynamic job description. So that'd be one. That's where I would start, certainly. And you could move that needle from a candidate spending 8 seconds to spending, minutes. It's like a mini recruiter meeting that the candidate's having now with you, the employer, and your team didn't have to show up. It's digitally on a page. You just had to do the front end work. We think that's radical and just the future. So that's number one, having a dynamic JD. Number two is that I would focus on the search on your career site. If you've got any volume of jobs, anything more than 20, 25 jobs, you need a kick-ass search engine to put on there on your career site. We're talking about, IBM.com/careers, starting there for the candidate. And you need to do better than the ATS job search. Most of them are average. And there's some AI-based, artificial intelligence-based job search technology now. OnGig has this in our platform that allows the candidate to do things like search a concept. So it turns out candidates don't just search basic things like sales and technology. For instance, software developers often search shorthand like SWDev for software developer. Well, if you go to the Fortune 500 in the U.S., almost every one of them, except for OnGig's clients, if you type in SWDev in a search box on their career site, you get zero results, even if they've got 1,000 software developer job openings. And the reason is because job search on the career site is mostly keyword only, exact match, or even worse, has false positives and brings in a bunch of junk and not relevant stuff. It takes care of misspellings. We call this intuitive search in general, having an intuitive search engine on your career site. It understands concepts. So it understands software developer in NYC for New York City. It understands that the New York City area includes New Jersey. You know, some parts of New Jersey are closer to New York City office than other parts of Manhattan in New York City. So, of course, why wouldn't you show jobs in New Jersey to someone searching on NYC for New York City? It starts and ends, the best of all, with AI-based intuitive search is what I call it. And this is cutting edge, very new. Google is leading the way with some technology on this and a couple of others of us. And the best part of all of this, Matt, this AI-based intuitive search is it gets smarter. So if the candidate searches something and clicks a link to your job, the system knows that that was a good result. If they didn't click a link, the system knows not to show that result next time. So that'd be number two. And then finally, the third part would be text analysis. It turns out that the text of job descriptions are often leaning towards being written for men, for male candidates, and not being written for women. And if you're interested in really moving the needle and your organization and diversifying your workforce, then doing a text analysis of your job descriptions and picking up where there's bias would be a top thing I would do, because I'll give you a story. We've got a client who sales is their engine. You know, most companies have one department that really drives the company. It might be sales over at Salesforce.com, for instance. It might be engineers at Google. And this particular client, sales was the driver. And it turns out that only 28% of their sales hires were women. And so I was talking to the head of sales. I said, let's analyze your text. We used OnGig, so it's able to analyze all of their sales job descriptions. And it turns out that it was biased towards men to the tune of 62%. So I was able to tell this VP of sales that, hey, you want to move the needle on your sales organization, your sales team? Women have been proven to be at least as good at men as men at sales. Then let's neutralize these job descriptions to be gender neutral, and you're going to attract a lot more women. And 3 months later, we had basically doubled the hiring of women for them.
Final question. Where do you see ATSs and job descriptions and the industry in general sort of moving over the next 18 months? So, you know, when you're doing your report next year, you know, what change would you expect to see? You know, how are things going to kind of shake out over the coming year or so?
It's a great question. There's really two camps that, and I'm generalizing, but two camps have emerged in the ATS world. One is what I would call one-stop shopping. These are the human capital management software companies like Oracle, Workday, SAP, IBM, Ultimate Software. They are trying to be one-stop shop with human capital software, you know, every version of it, every feature. You've got them in one camp. Let's call them the one-stop shopping ATSs. In the other camp is what I would call best-of-breed ATSs. And those include folks like Greenhouse Software, Lever, Smart Recruiters, and iSIMS is another one as well. Those are best of breed. And in their case, what they're doing is saying, hey, we're going to nail the ATS part, but if you want an extra feature, an extra app like video interviewing or a sourcing tool like Intello or credit check software from someone else, a third party, then we, the best of breed ATSs, are going to let you have that easily. Go out and pick the best of breed out there off the shelf and plug it into our core ATS. and we don't care where it comes from, and we'll just design an ecosystem, and we have designed an ecosystem, so that if you're, you know, using Greenhouse software, you know, they've got 185 partners, last time we checked, OnGig's one of them, by the way, 185 partners where, you know, they make it easy, Greenhouse makes it easy to, for their clients to go pick something third-party software off the shelf and plug it into Greenhouse. If you're, same with iSIMS, by the way, they call it a connector, right? They connect, they have 200 of these third-party partners. Whereas if you go over to, you know, the Workdays of the world and Taleo, they're really going to want you to use their own software. And it's pretty hard to integrate a third-party piece of software. So these two camps, one-stop shopping versus best of breed, are really, I see them getting divided. They're two very different camps, very different philosophies, and the head of TA has a really big decision to make when they're going to invest in one of these ATSs on which camp they're going to join. So that's one trend. The other trend that we see is that there's going to be continue to be massive consolidation, just these companies buying each other, and it gets real tricky. Even iSIMS I just brought up, they just bought TextRecruit, which is an example of a third-party application. So they're, you know, this isn't black and white. They're even, you know, buying some things to put into their core system. And so consolidation is the other big trend that we're going to see, just massive acquisitions continuing of small ATSs and mergers and so forth. And by the way, one final thing, very important to note, Google is now a player in this. So Google entered the ATS market and with their product called Google Hire. And this is a serious player. They're really initially going after Greenhouse and Lever and Smart Recruiters, more startups that they're going after. But this is Google, and they could go upstream very, you know, quickly and in a big way. Massive resources. They send out things like a free Chromebook. You know, I got one in the mail. They offer to send a free Chromebook if you just talk to them about becoming a Google Hire client, a client of their ATS. Just for talking about them, you could get a free Chromebook. that's a powerful new competitor on the landscape. And now they're going after startups. But boy, if they stick with this, they could own this space just like they've done with their other software out there. And big companies now use Google software, the Google Suite, G Suite, and Gmail, and Google Docs, and all that. So that's a third trend, Google Hire entering this space. And you'll see in our top ATS report, they are absolutely gaining market share. They're making a dent.
Rob, thank you very much for talking to me.
Fantastic. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's good to get to know you better.
My thanks to Rob Kelly. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or via your podcasting app of choice. The show also has its own dedicated app, which you can find by searching for Recruiting Future in your App Store. If you're a Spotify user, you can also find the show there. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.